Dr. Mercantile, good morning. Something I didn't think that we would be talking about is an outbreak of measles. I thought that we had that taken care of with vaccines, but I guess a lot of folks have opted out of that, huh?
We did have it taken care of with vaccines. Vaccines do a wonderful job with the diseases they're designed to prevent. But yes, more and more people are reconsidering the value of vaccines, I think probably because the diseases have become so uncommon that, you know, the risk-benefit thing just doesn't make as clear of a picture to people. But yes, we are seeing, we're seeing a resurgence of pertussis. As you know, we've had three probable cases of mumps, and I might just make a comment that the difference between a confirmed and a probable case isn't much. It's really classification based on what testing modalities you use. So we believe that we had some concerning issues. So I don't know what to say. There seems to be a real shift. Communicable diseases like measles and smallpox and mumps, they were the scourge of childhood, and I would hate to see them come back.
Yeah, I think you raise a good point. People haven't seen it before. I have never had the measles. I've never seen anybody with the measles. Why do I need a vaccine? Nobody gets the measles. Well, nobody gets the measles because of the vaccine.
Well, we do say that if you were born prior to 1957, it was so common that there's a good chance that you did have a case. Remember that when you get an infectious disease, there's a fair number of people that get infected that don't have severe symptoms. But for instance, in measles, one out of every 1,000 cases is very severe, can even result in hospitalization. So these are pretty sick kids who get measles.
Obviously there are people opting out because they fear the side effects and things like that. Is it also access to vaccines? Are there some parents that just don't have the access to get them?
We hope not. No. And of course, I realize that could be the case. We're striving to get back into some of our outlying communities. That's been a struggle since our budgets back in 2009, but that's a real issue. On the other hand, there's many programs now, VFC, Vaccine for Children, which provide all children vaccine access regardless of their insurance. Many of our pediatricians participate in that, in fact, most. So I do think that vaccines are available for parents to seek them out.
And they're available at various different ages. Obviously, if there's a parent that maybe had a shift in thought and they had not vaccinated their children when they thought they were supposed to, they can still do that.
Of course. It's never too late. Right. We obviously want people to vaccinate on time according to the schedules that have been established, because they are the best schedules available compared to delayed vaccines. I mean, there's a reason why that schedule is developed, because it's the best way of getting all your vaccines in. But even as an adult, if you haven't been vaccinated, it's not too late, especially now when we know that there's some circulating infection going around. It's a good time to come back and get your measles vaccine. Right. If you're not sure you've had two doses, it's okay to get another dose. Another option is to get a blood test to see if you're immune, but it's way easier and way cheaper just to get another vaccine.
There you go. Yeah, that's a lot easier indeed. I want to talk a little bit about the center of Port Huron, because I know the health department has been involved there. They are withdrawing their request to rezone. And you're not a zoning expert, you are from the health department. What are some of the services that you were offering there or planning to offer that you're not going to be able to offer now?
Well, we provided there for over a year, I believe, our basic services, clinic services, screening for sexually transmitted infections, naloxone, what else? WIC, our women and children program. So a variety of our standard programs. We were hoping to expand our services to include the syringe service program. We had not started that there yet. It was a great place. We were happy to be there because it was, in fact, where people congregated and where people were coming that were, could use our services.
Right.
But we're not zoning experts, you're right, and apparently we were out of compliance by being there. So we are now at the main health department, which will be providing all of our services. All of our services now will be there starting today, including the syringe service program. And we will continue to look for a location that better fits the needs of our clients.
The syringe program, we talked about this when it was first offered, but just kind of remind us what that is and the benefits of that too.
Well, the syringe service program is quite simply is providing materials, including syringes, but other materials that people who use injection drugs need. Drug use, they often will use whatever they have available, including old needles. They'll reuse needles. And the cases of bloodborne infections is markedly increased. In our community, we're behind the eight ball with that. We have a large increase in hepatitis C rates. We're concerned about HIV rates. And so at a program like this, not only do we meet the client where they're at in the course of their addiction, we are able to provide them services for infection screening and management, including pre-exposure prophylaxis for HIV, as well as options for treatment. We would look at every client individually, but if they're inclined to be open to treatment, those opportunities are available for referral and, of course, all of our other nursing and clinical services as well.
Where can somebody go for addiction treatment if they are indeed, you know, looking to recover from addiction? Does the health department provide that?
We have access to the numbers that they can call. Our outreach providers will do everything we can to connect people to the right source. In fact, one of the things we've done with this new program is train our staff to kind of have a better understanding of that service world. Of course, a person can always consult with their private physician. Mm-hmm. And then the CMH access line, which off the top of my head, I don't remember the phone number.
CMH has
always a good place to go, because even if you don't qualify for public services, they will be able to provide referrals to some other places.
All right. Help is available, and it's available locally as well.
It's never too late to get help.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Murkatov, thanks for being here. Always
Thank
appreciate
you,
it.
Paul.